Offshore wind would support 850 jobs during the construction phase. It will create 160 permanent good local jobs once the turbines start spinning in this initial phase. And if we succeed in establishing Maryland as the regional manufacturing hub for wind turbines, it will create and sustain even more good jobs into the future. This bill will also specifically help create jobs at businesses owned by minorities and women. Last year, for the first time ever, we exceeded our goal in MBE, WBE participation as a state. And within this bill, there's the creation of a $10 million fund to help us further empower these job creators as we harness Maryland's abundant source of offshore wind. This legislation is important to our jobs future, to our energy future, and it's important, therefore, to our children's future. I wanted to use the balance of my brief time with you today to address three issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, why offshore wind? Number two, what are the potential impacts on consumers? And number three, what impact will this have on our environment? First of all, the question of why offshore wind. The short answer is our geography and nature. Wind is one of Maryland's two most abundant natural resources, the other one being the sun. The U.S. Department of Energy estimates that we could be generating 10,000 megawatts off the coast of our state alone. That would be enough energy to power every home in Maryland, 10,000 megawatts. This bill would only get that ball rolling, would just be a start. It would be create 200 megawatts. But the other most abundant energy source is the sun. The carve-out that you created, Mr. Chairman, members of this committee and the legislature for solar energy has created already thousands of jobs with thousands more to be created in the years ahead in Maryland. We can also create jobs by harnessing offshore wind. But we have to act. This is not going to happen by itself. Now is the best time, and our proximity to both our nation's capital and to the Mid-Atlantic coast give us a unique competitive advantage, a unique opportunity to be leaders in the creation of new jobs and the development of new renewable energy. Now, there are some who would say we should sit back and wait and let others figure this out. But the question I believe that we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to create jobs here in Maryland by being innovators, leaders, and producers, or not? And that's the choice. Economies of scale don't happen by themselves. They won't drift here on the Gulf Stream. They are created by the actions, intentions, and choices of people who choose to innovate and to create a new future and to advance new technologies and new ways of creating a more sustainable future for the next generation. Next issue I wanted to address is the potential impact on consumers. This bill has very specific consumer protections built into it. After 3 years of this, with a lot of input from many members of the legislature, no consumer will pay even a penny more on their energy bill until such time as these turbines start running. The most optimistic estimate of when that would be is 4 years away, at best. Once the wind farm is built, you have also drawn a very narrow strike zone within which holds down the projected increases to at most $1.50 per month for the average household. Our hope, however, would be over the longer term, 20 to 30 year horizon, would be to stabilize and perhaps even reduce our families' energy bills, depending on how quickly the price of fossil fuels goes up. All of the experts predict that it will go up, even with the discovery of natural gas here in the U.S. Over time, it's predicted it will go up. But unlike fossil fuels, wind energy actually carries a fixed, stable, affordable rate that we can actually lock in and accurately estimate over a long period of time. Finally, the question of what this bill would mean for our environment. Climate change is real. We've all seen the severe weather here in Maryland, derechos we've never seen before, sort of freak heavy snows that we saw that flattened Garrett County for a couple of weeks' time. We just dodged a cannonball with Hurricane Sandy, but she will not be the last of the angry sisters to come at our coast. The severe weather we've seen is only going to become more severe until such time as we develop more renewable supplies of energy so as to stop heating up the climate and the atmosphere. As you know, in Maryland, with your support and through the actions of the General Assembly, we have set aggressive goals to protect our environment. And we have set the goal of increasing in-state renewable generation to 20% by 2022. So far, we're at 6.7%. We've got a ways to go. We've also set the goal of reducing Maryland's greenhouse gas emissions by 25% by 2020. So far, we've only achieved a 5% reduction. We have a long way to go. Those two goals are two of the 15 strategic goals for our state. And every megawatt hour of wind that we generate here in Maryland is a megawatt hour we do not generate from imported fossil fuels. Fewer fossil fuels burned into our air means fewer moms and dads contracting lung disease, fewer children with asthma. By advancing this offshore wind project, we have the opportunity to prevent as much as 7.5 million tons of climate change-causing pollution from being pumped into our atmosphere. And that's just through this first phase of the 200-megawatt project over the course of these next 20 years. If we believe that climate change is real, wind helps us make a 7.5 million-ton difference, and that's just on this first piece of it. If we believe that fossil fuel prices, as every expert has predicted, will rise over the long term, then offshore wind is a reasonable hedge against the rising costs that all of those experts predict. Finally, if we believe that new jobs are created by new innovations, then our leadership in harnessing offshore wind will create these jobs here in Maryland. And every job is needed. Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate your work and the work of this committee. This is a beginning. This is not an end. Putting together a deal that meets the very tight parameters the General Assembly has drawn will no doubt require a lot of work, even after the General Assembly checks off on this. Work with neighboring states, hopefully work with our federal government in order to create the sort of stacked approach that will allow this to be financed and also meet the very tight constraints of consumer protection that this committee and the General Assembly demands.